This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulihil kareem, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man sabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawm al-deen wa ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Okay, welcome back, mashallah, after the exams to another episode of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. We finished off speaking about Musaylima and how he killed one of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Now let me go back to now what we initially started, which was about the false female prophet Shuja'. So Shuja'a was originally going to attack Medina, and then she decided, she said, I had a dream and revelation that now I should go and attack Musaylima. So now she goes to attack Musaylima, so they lay siege to where Musaylima was. Now at the very same time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had already sent Ikrimah radiallahu anhu to go and deal with Musaylima, but not to fight him, just to keep him at bay. Why? So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu will finish off with Tulayha, and then he will come and he will go and fight Musaylima. So Ikrimah is waiting there, and shortly after this, Shuja'a comes with her army. Now, who was Shuja'a? Firstly, Shuja'a belonged to a tribe called the Bani Taghlub. The Bani Taghlub was a tribe which predominantly, they were Arab, but they were predominantly Christians. So from her mother's side, she lived with the Bani Taghlub. And then on her father's side, she belonged to a tribe called the Bani Yarbu. And remember the Bani Yarbu, because we will speak about them later on. So mother's side, the Bani Taghlub, and the father's side, the Bani Yarbu. She herself was Christian. But when she claimed prophethood, the vast majority of her Christian tribe actually followed her as well. And also, Bani Yarbu also followed her. And the leader of Bani Yarbu, a man called Malik ibn Nuwayra, remember this name because we will come back to it later on, Malik ibn Nuwayra also followed her. So she had a large army. So she marches now to where Musaylima was. So Musaylima now sends her a message. So why have you come for? Why? Because Musaylima knew that if he engaged in a battle with her, that would leave him open to Ikrimah and the Muslims attacking him. So Musaylima was very cunning, very smart. So Musaylima sent her a message and he said, why have you come for? So she said, I have come to fight the false prophet. So she's come to fight the false prophet. So Musaylima said to her, come to me and come with none of your army so we can discuss. So she goes to the fort of Musaylima with 40 men. And Musaylima says to her, you know those men? Leave them outside. I am sure me and you, two prophets, can discuss and we can come to some agreement. So she leaves her army outside and she goes and she has a discussion with Musaylima. Musaylima has placed a beautiful tent for her, really adorned, beautiful, and then he welcomes her. So they now here you have a male prophet and a female prophet, and they begin to discuss now. So Musaylima says to her, tell me about your revelations. So she says, no, a woman shouldn't start. A male should start. So Musaylima now gets ready, and he starts mentioning some of his revelations. So one of his revelations, and many revelations or you could say many of his poetry or many of his sayings have been recorded by the historians. So here he says that God has revealed to him, do you not see your Lord? How he deals with pregnant women. He extracts a living being from between the belly and the intestines. So now, when she's listening to this, she says to him, more. So then he comes out with this next revelation. He says, he has revealed to me that he created woman a receptacle and created man as her mate, to enter her and leave her at his pleasure. And then a little lamb is brought forth. So he has a relationship with his wife, a woman, and then a little lamb comes forth. So this was kind of his revelation. And he had many of these things. You know, he would say things like, recorded, الفيل وما الفيل وما أدرك ما الفيل خرطومه طويل وذنبه قصير. He said, feel? What is feel? What is an elephant? وما أدرك ما الفيل. And what will actually make you realize what an elephant is? خرطومه طويل. Its trunk is long. وذنبه قصير. And its tail is short. So he had all these ajib revelations that he would recite. So he says to her, he said, listen, you and me together, we will eat up the entire Arab nations. You know, no Arab will be able to fight you and me. So she gets quite impressed and she gets taken in by him. Until eventually, she actually forgoes her own prophethood and she says, I believe in you as a prophet. And he, and as I said, was called he, Musaylimah was well known for his, Amr ibn As met him before Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu became a Muslim. So he said, you know that man Muhammad, what does he say? So Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu recited for him Surah Al-Asr, Wal-Asr, Innal Insana Lafi Khusr. And he says, and this is possibility even before he actually claimed prophethood, he said, I also get these inspirations. He said, I get these inspirations. So he began to recite his revelation. So Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, as we mentioned, was very intelligent. He laughed. He said, Wallahi innaka la ta'lam. Wallahi innaka la ta'lam. Inni a'lam annaka kadhab. He said, Wallahi, you know that I know you're a liar. Wallahi innaka ta'lam. Inni a'lam annaka kadhab. He said, Wallahi, you know that I know you are nothing but a liar. But this was Musaylimah. So he now, he gets Shaja'a and he marries Shaja'a. So she forgoes her prophethood. He marries her. She stays with him for 3 days. And then she goes back to her people who are still camped there waiting for her after 3 days. And she says to them, I have now found the truth. And I believe in Musaylimah and I am his wife. So they say to her, you're his wife. So what did he give you as a mahar? Because that was the custom. You didn't marry without giving a mahar. So she says, oh, he never gave me no mahar. He never gave me any wedding gift. So they say, you know, you've been duped. Go back. So she goes now back to Musaylimah and she says, where's my mahar? You didn't give me any mahar. Musaylimah says, go and tell your people. Musaylimah, the messenger of Allah, says that Muhammad made 5 salats farz upon you. I have dropped your morning and your last prayer. So Fajr and Isha has been forgiven for you, and that is my mahar to you. So even his mahar was cheap. You know, he gave her nothing. So he reduced. The people obviously realized that she had been now duped, you know, her people. So they decided to leave. So they went back. While they were going back, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu met the army and he routed the tail end of the army. But he didn't take too much time. He didn't go after Shaja'a. The reason was because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had told him, go and deal with Musaylimatul Kadhab. Shaja'a later on went to her mother's tribe, the Bani Taghlub, and then later on she became Muslim, true believer, and she died on Iman and died on Islam. So subhanAllah, she died on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's another very, very interesting individual. And he was also from Bani Hanifa, and he was one of the leaders of Bani Hanifa. And his name was Rajal Anfawa. Rajal Anfawa. And Rajal al-Anfuwa was when the Bani Hanifa came to accept Islam on the 9th year of Hijrah, and they went all back. He didn't go back. So he stayed in Medina, and he studied in Medina. He memorized large portions of the Quran. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma says, وَكَانَ مِنْ أَفْضَلِ الْوَحْدِ عِنْدَنَا وَكَانَ عَظَمَ فِتْنَةٍ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْيَمَامَةِ. He said, this guy was the best one from the delegation. Why? Because he stayed behind, he studied the Quran by Ubay ibn Ka'b and Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhuma. Rafi ibn Khudayj says that this man, Rajal, he was a man of khushu, and he would recite the Quran profusely. So he stays behind. Then Musaylimah calls for prophethood. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still alive at that time. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who would be the best person to deal with Musaylimah? Rajal. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends Rajal. But before sending Rajal, let me tell you about a story which Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that a group of us were sitting in together, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went by. And he said, one of you in this group, he will be in the fire of Jahannam, and his molar teeth will be the size of the mountain of Uhud. So Abu Hurairah said that. I was also in that gathering, I was concerned. He said, until every single person who was in that gathering died, besides me and Rajal. That's it. And I was concerned that I might be that very person who will be in the fire of Jahannam and his molar teeth will be the size of the mountain of Uhud. Until the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Rajal to deal with the false prophet of Bani Hanifa, Musaylimah al-Kadhab. So he goes. Imagine this. He stayed in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He learned Quran from the best reciters that this ummah has ever had. And he goes back to his people, and Musaylimah takes him to the side, and Musaylimah says to him, listen, tell them I am a true prophet, and half my wealth will be for you, and I will keep the other half. So Rajal sold out. So Rajal said to the people, I've just come from Medina, and Muhammad just told me that Musaylimah is a true prophet. So many of the Bani Hanif, although the vast majority already believed in him, but some of them had their doubts. When he, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who remained in Medina, now came and said that, look, I heard, these ears heard Muhammad say that Musaylimah is a true prophet. Everybody now flocked in believing in Musaylimah. Many of the tribes around now began to believe in Musaylimah. So you can now imagine. So he would say, Musaylimah would say to Rajal, you know, you spent time with Muhammad, what does he do? So he said to him, you know what Muhammad does? If there's water is like not sweet in a well, he puts his saliva and the water becomes fresh. So he placed his saliva, the narrations mention that the well became bitter. He said that he would do tahniq to children. He said all the historians mention all the children that he did tahniq never had teeth. You know, tahniq is when you take the date, you chew it, and then you put it in the child's mouth. They say that they would bring the children for barakah, for him to rub his hand over their heads. He said they would never have hair growing on their head, males and females. So this even his own people, in all honesty, didn't really believe in him. Many of them didn't believe in him. So there was a man called Talha. He came to him and he asked him, he said, tell me. He said, are you a prophet from Allah? He said, yes. He said, what's the angel that comes to you? He said, Rahman. He said, tell me. That does he come in the day or does he come in the night? He said, he comes at night time. He said to him, I swear by Allah, Muhammad is a true prophet and you are a false prophet. But a prophet from our qawm is more beloved. A false prophet from our qawm is more beloved from a true prophet from another qawm. Because he was from their people. You know, one of the muadhins, He was once giving the adhan. So they changed the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Muhammad to Musaylimah. So he's giving the adhan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When he reaches, I bear testimony that Musaylimah is the messenger of Allah. He said, I bear testimony that Musaylimah thinks that he is the messenger of Allah. So even his own people, many of them knew that he was a false prophet, but he was from them. They compared his revelation with the revelation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they realized that this revelation ain't the real revelation. From his sharia, what was his sharia? He made alcohol halal. If you married and you had a son, you would have to remain in celibacy until that son died, and then you could have a relationship again with your wife or remarry. So if you had a son, and after having the son, you could no longer now, you would have to live a life of celibacy unless the son died. And then you could renew your, you could either get married again, or if you were still married, you could carry on having a relationship with your wife. These were kind of the sharias that he bought. Now, Ikrimah is there. He's waiting for Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. And then Ikrimah hears the news that Khalid had defeated Tulayha and he had defeated Salma. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told Ikrimah, do not engage. And no, under no circumstance, do not engage. And then Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu also went to fight another person, Malik ibn Nuwayra, which we will discuss later. So Ikrimah is waiting there. Who is Ikrimah? Subhanallah. Who was Ikrimah? Ikrimah was the son of no other than Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he was the Fir'aun of this ummah. The Fir'aun of this ummah was Abu Jahl. On every occasion, he was the most ardent enemy of the Muslims. When Islam came and the Muslims took Mecca, Ikrimah ran away. One, he was concerned obviously about his life because he was an ardent enemy of the Muslims. On the Battle of Uhud, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was on one flank, cavalry, and Ikrimah was on the other flank. So he leaves. So when he leaves, he catches the boat to go to a faraway land. Now, this was a Ajib belief that the Mushrikeen had. The Mushrikeen had that belief that if you were ever in the sea and then you were afflicted with any masiba, you don't call any idols. You call only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. Because the Mushrikeen believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's on this journey, on the boat, and all of a sudden they are afflicted by a storm and everybody forgets Salat, forgets Uzza. They are only remembering Allah. And it occurred to him, this is a Ajib belief. If at sea, in times of difficulty, you remember only Allah, then on land you should only remember Allah. So now Ikrimah then decides to come back. So he comes back to Mecca. So this is the son of Abu Jahl, ardent enemy, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam welcomed him. And he said, Marhaban Muhajir Rakib. Marhaban, you know, welcome to the Muhajir who is riding, because he came riding. And then sometimes, you know, people obviously would remember Abu, they were Muslim, they would remember Abu Jahl in a not very nice way. So one day he came and he complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not remember the dead in a bad way, because you inconvenience and hurt those who are living, and what you say doesn't even reach those who are dead. So you're inconveniencing and hurting their family who's still alive, and as for the dead, they're dead. You know, they've reached what they have sent forward. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not swear and curse the dead, because they have reached what they have sent forth. What Allah has kept for them, Allah, they have reached. Now, subhanAllah, Ikrimah passed away on the 15th year of Hijrah, And inshallah, we will do that when we do the life of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu at the Battle of Yarmouk. And Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says he was a great Muslim after embracing Islam. Actually, he was an exceptional Muslim. And inshallah, throughout, we will discuss the life of Ikrimah radiallahu anhu. Now, Ikrimah, clear instructions were, do not engage Musaylimah. He can't resist the temptation. You know, Musaylimah, the worst of all the false prophets. He's been waiting there. Khalid bin Walid hasn't come. Shajar has left. And then he goes and he fights Musaylimah. What happens? He gets defeated. His army gets defeated. They get routed. The news reaches Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr is very angry. So he sends him a letter and he says, listen, I don't want to see your face. Don't you come back to Medina. The instructions were, do not engage. He said, go to Oman. So he goes to Oman. Then comes another Sahabi radiallahu anhu. His name was Sharahbil radiallahu anhu, one of the eminent Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He was also a Sahabi who fought in the Battle of Badr and one of the most eminent Sahaba. He comes with his army. Exactly the same instructions were given to him. Do not engage the army of Musaylimah. He can't resist the temptation either. So he goes and now he engages the army of Musaylimah, and his army is also defeated. And this is the approximately the time that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu reaches. When he reaches there, he finds the army of Sharahbil has been routed. But before we bring Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu for the battle with Musaylimah, I want to cover one more topic, which is a topic of great importance, and that is a topic of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu and the killing of Malik ibn Nuwayrah. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, after dealing with, do you remember the name of the first false prophet that Khalid bin Walid dealt with? Tulayha. Good. Tulayha. So after dealing with Tulayha, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu goes to a place called Battah, and there is where the Bani Yarburu, the tribe, the Bani Yarbu, which Shaja also belonged to, lived. So when he reaches Battah, the leader of the Bani Yarbu is a man called Malik ibn Nuwayrah. His kunya was Abu Hanzala. He was married to a woman called Layla bint Sanan. And she was known for her beauty. The Arabs knew Layla bint Sanan for her beauty. And also, Malik ibn Nuwayrah was a mighty warrior. He was a poet, very articulate, a true leader. But what happened is that he embraced Islam on the 9th year of Hijrah. But then after that, when Shajar, because Shajar was a member from the Bani Yarbu as well, when she claimed prophethood, he joined Shajar and he also decided to attack Medina with Shajar. And he went with her also to Musaylimah, to attack Musaylimah. But when she got duped by Musaylimah, then he left her side and he went back to Battah. Now, his role in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he would collect the taxes from that area, the zakat from that area, and he would send it to Medina. Now, what happened, obviously, is that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he stopped. Not only all the taxes that he had gathered, he gave them back to the people. The zakat to the people. He said, he's dead and we no longer need to send our taxes to Medina. And in some narrations it mentioned that we are relieved of this man regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now this issue is quite a controversial issue. What happened to Malik ibn Nuwayrah? Because some actually use this incident to besmirch Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. It's an endeavor to defame Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu goes to Battah, and the general process was that you would wait. If you heard the adhan, طيب, they were still Muslims, and if you didn't hear the adhan, then you would give them the options. And then if need be, you would attack. So according to some, like Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, he says that they heard the adhan. Others said that no adhan was actually given. So they go, they capture Malik ibn Nuwayra, and he's brought to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, and then a discussion begins. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu asks him, the zakat, why did you not give the zakat? Why did you refuse? So Malik ibn Nuwayra says, I don't think your companion commanded you with that. Referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He used the word rajulukum wa sahibukum, your companion, your man. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu said to him, so don't you regard him as your Nabi? Do you understand? Don't you regard him as your Nabi? And then he said, then Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, the discussion went on, and he said a few things. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu said to him, he said, I will have your neck, I will have you executed. He said, I don't think your companion commanded you with that. So then Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu had him executed because he thought he was an apostate. Okay? Ibn Khalikan, the historian, uses some additional word sentences in this story. He says that Malik bin Nuwayra said, we believe in the salah, but we don't accept the zakat. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu said, do you not know that salah and zakat are accepted together? Because if you look throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about establishing the prayer, giving the zakat, etc. Then Malik bin Nuwayra said, is that what your companion commanded you with? You see, he keeps using the word, your companion. Now, if you were a believer, you wouldn't use the word your companion. You would say, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu came to the conclusion that, you know, he wasn't a believer. So the discussion goes on, and then he says, I will have you executed. And then again he says, did your companion command you with that? So now he is killed. In some narrations, historical narrations, it's mentioned that it was a cold day, and Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu said, warm them up, because it's cold. But in the dialect of the Bani Kinana, warm them up meant kill them. So some of them were executed as a consequence, and by the time they came, Malik bin Nuwayra was also executed. Now, Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu was upset. So he went all the way to Medina to complain about what had happened to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He was very unhappy. He felt that Malik bin Nuwayra was killed unjustly. Okay. So Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard the complaint, Umar radiallahu anhu said that Khalid should be removed. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I will not sheathe the sword of Allah, which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had unsheathed. I will not put him back in the sheath. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't stop there. Then he called Khalid bin Walid. Okay? He called him. He heard his side of the story, and he came to the conclusion that Khalid bin Walid at most made a mistake, but it wasn't intentional. Now, see, the thing with this story is, if you say that Abu Bakr heard the story and he still took his side without, you know, taking things into consideration, so the blame doesn't just go to Khalid bin Walid, but it also extends to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, isn't it? Because Abu Bakr knew that he killed him intentionally, but he didn't do anything about it. طيب? But not only that, it actually goes even to Umar ibn Khattab. Why? Because when Umar became Amir al-Mu'mineen, he didn't demote Khalid bin Walid. He demoted him at the latter end of his caliphate, but not at the beginning of his caliphate. So if Umar actually really believed that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was wrong, then he should have demoted him. So there was a dispute. There's a dispute regarding if the adhan was heard, if the adhan was not heard. Also, there are narrations which mention that actually Malik bin Nuwayra had the duff played when he heard the message of Allah passed away. So also, the fact that he used words like sahibukum wa rajulukum in Fatuh al-Buldan, which is a historical book, it's mentioned that not only did Malik bin Nuwayra do all these things, but he also fought against the Muslims. Okay? And it's established as well that he was going with Shaja'ah. He believed in Shaja'ah, who was a false prophet. Not only that, he was going with her to actually attack Medina. So, the most we can say on this issue is that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, most that he thought was that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu made a mistake. And you can't say more than that. Why? Because even in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Khalid bin Walid also ended up mistakenly killing a group of people from the Bani Jazima. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard about this, so basically they said, when he came to them, so instead of saying aslamna, we have believed, they said asabna, yeah, or sabana, we have turned away. Now what they meant, we have turned away from the religion of our forefathers who embraced Islam. He understood sabana meant, because the word sabi, you will be used for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, yeah. So he understood that they had turned away from Islam and gone back towards kufr. So he killed them. So when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about this, the Messenger of Allah said, "Ana bari'un mimma fa'ala Khalid." I am free from what Khalid has done. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent blood money to the people, to the Bani Jazima who were killed. He sent blood money, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have Khalid bin Walid executed. Why? Because he understood that this was a mistake made by Khalid bin Walid. He didn't even have Khalid bin Walid sheathed. He didn't even have him demoted, because he understood that this was a mistake. So even in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have had a similar incident. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one of the battles, Osama bin Zayd was about to strike one of the mushriks. So this is in the battle. He's about to strike one of the mushrikeen, and the mushrikeen said, "La ilaha illallah." And Osama bin Zayd still kills him. So when they came back and they told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what had happened, so the Messenger of Allah got very angry and called Osama. He said, "Osama, you killed a man who recited La ilaha illallah in the battlefield." Osama bin Zayd said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, he only did it to save his neck." And the Messenger of Allah said, "Ashiqaqta qalbah? Did you open up his heart to find out what was in his heart?" And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated, "You killed a man who recited La ilaha illallah?" And he repeated it again and again and again, and he was so angry that Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, who was the beloved of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, "I wish I hadn't embraced Islam until that day." Seeing the anger of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have him executed, he didn't have him demoted, because he understood that this was a mistake. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, وَلَا تَقُولُ لِمَنْ أَلْقَى إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامَ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا. Do not say to that person who gives you salam that you are not a believer. So what happened is that the Muslims were going to fight a group of people, and they met, saw a group of people, and they all ran away besides one. So this man gives them salam. So the Muslims thought, this guy is only doing it to save his neck. So what did they do? They killed him. They killed him. Because they saw all his companions running away. They thought he must be amongst them. But he gave them salam. But they said, this guy is only doing it to save his neck. So they killed him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ أَلْقَسْ أَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا. Do not say regarding that person who gives you salam, less than mu'min, you are not a believer. You don't know what is in that person's heart. So the Prophet ﷺ now sent blood money for the... He sent blood money for the person who was killed. But the Prophet ﷺ didn't have those who killed him killed. Why? Because there were doubt took place. You gave him the benefit of the doubt. Now with all this, which had happened, you know, he played the duff. He said, Rajulukum sahibukum. He believed in Shajar. He stopped giving the zakat. And all the other things. And then Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu has this discussion with him. With all these things going on, now who do you give the benefit of doubt? Khalid bin Walid, who was eminent Sahabi, Saifullah al-Maslul? Or do you give the benefit of doubt to a person who had done all this? Obviously you give to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. But this is a issue which those who are the enemies of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu like to make, you know, they like to make a real issue out of this non-issue. So we would say that there are three possibilities why Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu killed him. One was that he didn't give zakat. Okay. Secondly, that he believed in Sajjah. Or thirdly, that he killed him wrongly. Yeah, one of these three reasons. And all of these three reasons would be, you know, at least if he didn't give zakat, he regarded him as apostate. If he believed in Sajjah, he regarded him as apostate. Or the third one, that he killed him mistakenly. You know, he did his own ijtihad and he came to maybe a wrong conclusion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. They say, they also say that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu later on, according to some narrations, married his wife. Okay? So they say that Khalid bin Walid only killed him because he wanted to marry his wife. You know, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu in record as saying that, you know, going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a frosty cold night is more beloved to me than a new bride or somebody giving me glad tidings that I've had a child. Going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was the priority of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. You know, if you put this allegation on Khalid bin Walid, then a'udhu billah, people who have a demented and perverted mind would also, like some people have done, have slandered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he married, they took Khaybar, and he married Huyay ibn Akhtab, the leader of the Jews' daughter, Safiya radiallahu anha, they said, look, he only did it because he wanted to marry his daughter, a'udhu billah. So sometimes the people's minds, because they have perverted minds. As for the marriage with Layla, the accusation, obviously, as I mentioned, is that he married her because he killed her husband Malik ibn Nuwayra because he wanted to marry her. Ibn Hayyat, famous story, Ibn Khaldun, both of them don't even mention this part of the narration. Why? Because they didn't regard it as authentic. So they didn't even mention this. And even though, and the narration mentioned that he married her after Iddah, tayyib. If he married her after Iddah, what's the issue? You know, there's no narration which mentioned that she didn't want to marry him, that she was against him marrying him. So alhamdulillah. Anyway, may Allah subhanahu, we leave it today inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a correct understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the sahaba radiallahu anhum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them for their efforts in his deen. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakumullah khairan for watching. And please do not forget to watch the next episode. And inshallah, with your du'as, there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.